two evenings ago at Bangalore Central Railway Station. Is that what it's called? Bangalore City. It's called Majestic. Official name is Bangalore City. Bangalore City Railway Station. I was asked a question, which I'm going to respond to again now. It's an important question. I'm going to respond to it a little bit differently to the way I did then. The question is bhakti dependent upon karma? Generally, it's considered that our fate or destiny or kismat, in for those who like Hindi or Urdu, depends on what we did previously, in previous lives. So that is how it is generally understood. So is it that because we perform pious activities, punya karma, we can take to bhakti? Or is it because we perform bhakti in previous lives, we can take to bhakti? Now, how are we to understand the answer to this? The answer can be understood from Shastra and the teachings of the previous acharyas, because these are topics which are not measurable or quantifiable by any material means. Now, at least the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have always stressed that bhakti is independent of any karma. The well-known statement of Srimad Bhagavatam is that Savai Pungsang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaje Ahaituki Apratiyatha Yayatma supracedati. The supreme occupation, supreme dharma for all humans is bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which that can fully satisfy the self if it's actually param dharma, which means ahaituki. Now this means without any cause. That means bhakti should be done without a desire for money, liberation from the material world, going to the heavenly planets, or any such thing. And apratihata means it is not stopped in any circumstances. For instance, if I'm doing bhakti and all of a sudden I find out that something very good happened, I won 20 crores of rupees in a lottery. They don't give such big prizes. Somehow or other I got 20 crores of rupees, non-taxable. Or I find out that the actual amount of money I have, which is only 20,000 rupees, has been taken by the taxman. So something very good happens or something very bad happens on the material platform and I become so affected that I stop doing bhakti. So that kind of bhakti is not pure devotion to Krishna. So this word ahaituki means without any material motivation, without any personal motivation. But it's also understood to mean that bhakti has no karmic antecedents. In other words, bhakti can arise in the heart of anyone at any time, not dependent on their previous karmas. Someone may be completely sinful and still take to bhakti. examples are there of Ajamil. Of course, it could be said that previously he did bhakti, but he did so much abhakti after that, or sinful activities, it might be thought that the bhakti was totally destroyed. But no, Ajamil, by just a little touch of bhakti, was able to become fully delivered. Another example is given of Mrugari, the hunter, who had no known previous contact with bhakti, but simply by the grace of Narada, he took to bhakti. So there are many examples, especially in the modern age, of people living in cultures where they have no contact with bhakti whatsoever, but when they get contact by the powerful contact of a pure devotee of Krishna, then they take up bhakti very seriously. So that is also stated in Shastra. Bhaktischa Bhagavad, what is that? Bhaktischa Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Parijayati. That by the association of a pure devotee of Krishna, then bhakti, which is already within the heart, becomes manifest. Now, from Bhagavad Gita, we learn from Lord Krishna, Yeshang Twantagatang Papang Jananang Punya Karmanam Tedvanva Mohanir Mukta Bhajanti Maundira Vrataha. That persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and who are free from the duality of delusion, they take to my devotional service, bhakti, Krishna says, with great determination. So this suggests the opposite. That people who have acted piously, they can take to bhakti. And actually that is generally expected. It may be or it may not be. People who are very sinful, they can also take to bhakti. And they can achieve Krishna's full mercy, as is also stated in Bhagavad Gita, that Mam hi parthivya pashritya yepi siu papayoniha striyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti param gatim. Krishna says, one who takes full shelter in me, even if they be of sinful birth, even if they be women, vaishyas, or shudras, Krishna says, if they take full shelter in me, they can achieve the supreme destination. So low birth, or what is considered a disadvantageous birth, is not a disadvantage for bhakti. If one somehow or other takes full shelter of Krishna, one can achieve the supreme destination. But immediately after that verse, Krishna says, King puna brahmana punya bhakta raja shayastata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. Krishna says that what to speak, kim puna, what to speak of the brahmanas and pious rajarshis, pious kings, who in this miserable and temporary world worship me, Krishna says. So in other words, it's expected that people of a more pious background will take to bhakti. But even if one is not of a pious background, if one takes to bhakti, one can get the full benefit regardless of one's previous piety or impiety. So what is the conclusion? Is previous piety a factor or not? Well, we can say that previous piety, it's expected that that will make one more inclined toward bhakti. As we see that in the modern world, that more people are taking to Krishna bhakti who are from pious Hindu backgrounds, or even impious Hindu, but I mean, somehow or other, if people have that culture, they're more likely to take to Krishna bhakti than someone who comes from a different cultural background. People from the Western countries do take to bhakti, but generally not in as great numbers as do people from India, who for them it's part of their culture to take to this. And even though nowadays the culture is not so strong, but people can naturally identify with Krishna bhakti and take to it more easily. For people coming from other countries, it's such a big change to take to Krishna consciousness that it practically means giving up your own culture. Whereas in India, you may have to give up many parts of the culture that that people in the modern age have been raised with. But it is something that they culturally identify with. So it's considered a pious birth to take birth in India. And it's stated in Shastra that the devatas, the demigods in heaven, they also want to take birth in India because that affords a good opportunity for Krishna consciousness. So is karma or punya karma, pious activities, a prerequisite for Krishna consciousness? No. There's also an important verse in this regard that Krishna bhakti rasa bhavana mati kriyatang yadapi, what is that? Kriyatang piyapi, yeah, look it up. Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam punya koti, what is it? Nahilabhyate. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatang yadi. Sorry, I'm forgetting my verses here. We can, but fortunately we have the software to look it up. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaya na labhyate. So yeah, I was looking for the word punya, but it's sukriti, which is a similar word. So the meaning of this verse is, now the electricity just went off. It has a battery also. We have some sukriti. From the Karnataka State Electricity Board, devatas turned off the power, but we have some sukriti in reserve in the form of a battery. Oh, the power came back. Went off momentarily only. So the purport of this verse is that everyone should try to be Krishna conscious. Be overwhelmed by the bliss of Krishna bhakti. That is the best thing, to have the bliss of Krishna bhakti. It's better than anything. It's better than being Miss World, or if you're a man, being the husband of Miss World. It's better than enjoying the apsaras in Swargaloka, or being an apsara, or being Lord Brahma, anything in the material world. Much, 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 much to the power of, raised to the power of, however big a number you want to make it, is to have love for Krishna. And if somehow or other you can get love for Krishna, take it. Be Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Somehow or other, if we can get Krishna bhakti, take it. How can we get that Krishna bhakti? By lolyam, greed. So greed is good. I have come here today to tell you that greed is good. Most swamis will tell you that. Work hard, get lots of money. What's the difference between the swamis and the everyone else. The Swamis are dressed differently and they drop in a few quotations from the Upanishads. Otherwise, the Swamis, they're all the same as the materialists. But here, greed means spiritual greed to get Krishna and Krishna bhakti. So, Rupa Goswami, who composed this verse, said that greed for bhakti cannot be had in from millions of births of mundane pious activities. So, ordinary piety doesn't help one to get bhakti. But it may create a favorable situation. Just like in Shastra it said, you do pious activities, punya karma, and not papa karma. Because if you do punya karma, it's good. You can go to swarga, and in your next life, as a human, you can have Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri. That means you can have birth in a high family, a rich family. You can be educated. You can have good looks. Whereas if one is sinful, then one is born in a low family. Nowadays in modern India, we're not supposed to say these kind of things. According to Shastric understanding, there's high families and low families. Poor family, you can be born without much intelligence and ugly. So these are the differences between punya karma and papa karma. But if one does punya karma, then one will also, among the punyas are respecting the different gods. Even if one doesn't have very good discrimination, who is actually supreme, one will bow down before the deities. One will respect the brahmanas and gurus. One will respect the cows. So these are all punya karmas, which help people to be, in an indirect way, they can help people to be Krishna conscious. Because if one's culture is there to bow down before the deity, just like yesterday Jagannath was going, and people, mostly didn't bow down, mostly they'll just put their hands together. Maybe not even that nowadays. But at least, at the very least, some attitude of respect is there, which, due to a pious background, people will have some attitude of respect. They like to take prasadam. They like to offer maybe some fruit to offer to Jagannath. Maybe with the idea that by doing so, I will get free from all the sins I've committed. And I will get the blessings of God so I can go to swarga or whatever. So the motive may not be pure, but there is at least the touch or the beginning of bhakti. So that is beneficial. Whereas if someone is, say for instance, from a Muslim family, they may be, due to the culture they've imbibed, they may be against that. Or even if, as I suspect, many Muslims in India are actually attracted to festivals like Rath Yatra, they're not allowed to show it because of their culture. Or if they do, only in a guarded way. So, punya, we can say, or pious activities, or karmas, they don't directly influence whether or not we will take two bhakti. But because someone, even from a very sinful background, they can take to bhakti. Because bhakti is the natural condition of the soul, and bhakti is invoked by the presence of devotees. Just like Srila Prabhupada. Of course, no one's exactly like Srila Prabhupada. But so many people there in India, pious people, they weren't taking to bhakti. But when Prabhupada went to the West, so many people took it up without any background, at least not any background visible in this life. So bhakti is independent of karma, but at the same time we can say that some conditions may be favorable for taking up bhakti, but still the touch of a devotee association is required. So that is the situation. Yeah, so there's some